At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
All right. Hello, and welcome to episode 2 of Keep On Cybertruckin'. I'm Eric. We're here with Chase and William. William is sitting in his Cybertruck, so he is available to anybody to join the chat and ask any questions, and he can show it live. So let's start with our first topic.
Start with Basecamp. I think that's kind of fresh on the mind. We saw a really cool breakdown of video this week that popped up on the internet of some of the first Basecamp setups and takedowns hit YouTube, and it's kind of interesting to see the actual, you know, final build quality and like how hard is it to set up and take down.
Yeah, I actually can share my screen and show some of that. Mm-hmm. So
I will mention that at first glance, like I think this is the second post. Yeah, this is the second post. Mm-hmm. The first post that he put up, he didn't have the rain fly for the back all the way out. It was just kind of like hanging there, kind of sad.
Yeah, and it looks very sad.
It was kind of interesting because some people like did catch onto that and tried to get some momentum, kind of comparing like side by side of like the CGI rendering and some of the marketing images compared to this, and it was just kind of a juxtaposition there. But
yeah,
it's not as bad as I thought it was going to look. I mean, it's just kind of, I don't know, it is what it is.
Yeah, no, I don't think it looks as bad. I think the biggest thing for me is it seems a little cumbersome. I mean, maybe I've never had a rooftop tent. I've never done camping like that. I've either had on ground, you know, or in an RV of some sort. So maybe that's just typical, but I have seen some YouTube videos where they have the rooftop top tents and it just kind of folds out and the legs go down and you prop something up and you're kind of ready to go. This seems to have a lot of, and I understand you packing it up into a small space that fits in the bed of the truck, but
right.
I don't know. I don't like removing that aero flap either. That seems kind of weird.
A little extra. Yeah.
Yeah.
I was trying to figure out like what's the core audience for this kind of product. And I feel like it's one part, okay, impromptu camping. Like, okay, we're going to take a trip. We don't know what the trip entails, but okay, why don't we just park on the side of the road and camp? We have that option because we just flip it out and go. That's great. Although you can also do that if you just had a tent sitting in the bed of your truck,
yep,
just ready to go. But yep, the other benefit of this is that you're up above the ground. So really, I think where this would excel is in really cold weather camping, which can then bring its own challenges. Because this also was confirmed that we don't have internal AC while we're in this tent.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that, what is it called? Tent mode? I think tent mode is going to be coming at some point. I'm not 100% sure exactly what that does. I guess, you know, being the fact that there's outlets in the bed of the truck, you can hook up some type of small heater, space heater, or
electric blanket was called out. I think that'd be a perfect idea for cold weather camping in this.
Yeah. Because
then you don't have to worry about overheating. And then it's all there. You have all the electric we need, obviously, in the bed.
It does look high quality though. Oh, there's their aero flap. I don't like the fact that you have to remove that. It just seems, I don't like the idea of having to remove something every time you're going to use something else. I don't like that.
I think I would have to watch it again to be sure, but I wonder if that is related to an issue that came to mind about rainwater, because I feel like the back side of the top of the truck is slanted down, so all the water is going to run from the top window down towards the tent. Mm-hmm. But then it looks like it's almost like there's an inner and outer tent, so all that water would just kind of run off into the bed and then drain through the bed, but your inner tent is going to still stay dry because it's separated from those two layers. But definitely a concern, because if you have, I would be curious.
Probably where you're going to put your gear, right?
Yeah,
is
exactly
underneath you.
You're going to have your gear in the bed of the truck underneath that bed frame.
Possibly your food?
Yeah. definitely concern I would have.
Yeah, I don't know how I like that. But like what we were talking about before we started the podcast, the idea of, we know there's going to be third party tents that are going to come out, and I think I'm really excited for that because I think there's going to be a lot of innovation in that. There's going to be a lot of fixing those problems. So I'm excited for that. I'm excited for what other manufacturers are going to come up with. So we'll see. I don't know if it's worth $3,000, but
I think the big question would be, because you know we have they have the crossbars, which I don't think are available yet. They're going to be available in 2024. I'd be curious to see. It looks like those crossbars kind of fit level to each other, even though it's on a slanted surface. So I wonder if some of these third-party like tents that pop out of either the bed or the top of the vehicle will be able to sit on top of there. So out of pocket, you could possibly get like a tent system for, you know, maybe under 2,000 if you get a budget tent, because the crossbars are $800. Maybe spend $1,500 on a tent. You could have a different solution that's not $3,000. But then again, like I was saying, I'm looking at, you know, the Condor rooftop tent that's already almost $4,000 right there. Like some of them, it seems like 3,000 is kind of like that sweet spot for tents that sit on top of a truck.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's. I know that the pricing wise, it's kind of in line with what the industry where the industry's at. But I don't know enough about the rooftop tents to really know if you're getting the bang for the buck. I mean, I'm happy that they did it. I'm happy that they came. Mm-hmm. They actually came out with a tent because they. I know it's not the same tent that they. I don't want to say promised because I don't think they promised it, but that they advertised. But so I'm glad they did something, but it's definitely not. I don't know if I would spend the $3,000 on it.
That's a great point too. Because remember the first renderings that we saw, not only had the tent, but it also had the, you know, grill,
just slide out
electric grill.
Yep.
So I'm wondering if, you know, if plans for that will ever come. I know they have plans for the air compressor that you can put in the bed, but yeah, those kind of questions I have still. Just kind of curious.
I'm sure at some point someone's going to make something, right? Some type of modular slide out. I think that's, yeah, I think that'll be a big seller for a lot of people that go camping, for sure.
Yeah, because it was totally different. It's also have, yeah, the slide-up compartments, which we're getting a little bit of that, because we still have that compartment space underneath the sleeping space. And maybe, you know, who knows if Tesla, this is just their first version of the tent, and they might iterate and kind of come out with a second and a third iteration. So I'm hopeful there.
Yeah, hopefully. Hopefully, but I mean, I think Tesla, maybe just this was their first attempt or their only attempt. They go, this is what we're going to do. And then I'll kind of let others kind of take the reins and run with it. But moving on from that, from the base camp, I think a big thing that was in the news this week was how you go about getting a Cybertruck. And I know that they were doing credits. Right, you can use, I think, 30,000 credits to go ahead and fulfill or to configure your Cybertruck. And then this week, they decided to go with long-term Tesla shareholders and allowing them to get their configurations going.
I believe the term was for 2 years, right? You at least had to have, 500 shares held for more than 2 years?
Yeah, so right here, to be eligible, you would have to have... Cybertruck reservation must be in the participant's name and have been made prior to March 1st, 2024. The participant has not taken delivery of a Cybertruck. Takes me out of the running for a second one. Each participant must provide brokerage statements showing that you owned Tesla shares on February 28th, 2021 and owned at least 500 Tesla shares on February 29th, 2024. The brokerage statements for February 29th, 2024 must show that you owned at least 50% of the Tesla shares that you owned on February 28th, 2021. Brokerage statements providing shareholders must clearly show first, last name, statement, da-da-da-da-da. So I have mixed feelings about this. I feel like they should just go with the the reservation line, so to speak, and just work their way down that line. And this whole cutting ahead, I don't know how I feel about that.
It seems like it was last minute. It's kind of odd that they would roll this out at this time if this was a part of the plan from initial launch. I just did the math. So February 2021, roughly an average price per share of $225. So if you literally bought and held from that, that's like 112,000 worth of Tesla shares. Inversely, if you would have bought like 500 shares back in 2020, we're talking about like $30 a share back then. So definitely doable. But yeah, I think they're kind of scoping for their like longer term loyal kind of investors, which is an interesting play for sure.
What do you think this is telling us about the people taking delivery or configuring? What's the percentage of people that are actually configuring?
I would love to speculate, because I think this is, I don't know if it's telling or not. Like, I don't know if this was a part of the plan or if this is kind of a pivot.
I don't think it was part of the plan.
Doesn't seem like it. So I'm curious if it, I don't know. Like, is this telling that maybe Foundation Series is coming to an end soon?
I hope so.
I think that might be something to look out for. Because we still have haven't had any kind of like inclination of when that's going to end.
No,
it could be the year, it could be next month. We don't know.
And I wish that they were a little bit more transparent on that, because I think we talked about it on the first podcast. You know, you're buying, at least for me, I bought the Cybertruck with the idea of I'm getting in. Oh, we're getting some echo.
Let me try dragging that echo. Cancel.
Okay.
Cool. So I was looking at it going, I'm buying the Cybertruck. I'm getting a Foundation Series. I know a lot of people are speculating it's going to be limited to 1,000. Obviously, that's not the case. Tesla nor Elon never said it was going to be the case. So fair enough.
It's kind of a good assumption.
Yeah, but that's kind of what people were speculating. And I was hoping that was going to be the case. Even if it got doubled to 2,000, okay. You know, but I think that there should be some type of clarity on that and transparency of, okay, this is the limit, right? We're ending at 5,000 units or 10,000 units or whatever it is, but at least just say this is what it is. So that way, I think that would actually help drive sales, because I think the people that are going to want that special edition are going to then configure, because they're going to go, okay, I need to get in, rather than, you know, just not knowing.
Yeah. And I kind of figured that it was going to be like a situation at some point this year where reservation holders that get the email, they're going to have the option, be like, okay, you can take ownership and have it delivered the next 3 months, but it's going to be a Foundation Series, or in the next year and it will be a non-foundation. I think that's going to be eventually people are going to switch over, but having that information would be nice. But obviously from the business perspective, Tesla probably just wants, you know, as many Foundation Series as they possibly can. You know,
well, yeah. I mean, you're charging $20,000 more than what you would otherwise. Yeah.
But
no, I don't blame them.
Because I was talking to my wife when we first got it, and because obviously we have it up in Turo, and that's a big part of what we were doing. But I was trying to think of, like, okay, if I was one of my Turo clients, like, I just saw that, okay, there's a Cybertruck on Turo, I'm going to spend whatever, $500 a day to go drive it for 24 hours. Would this sell me on this truck today? Like, would that trip sell me on the truck? And I feel like with the dual motor at 100K, I feel like that's a really hard sell. But I feel like at 80K, it would be hands down 100%. I'm sold. But I feel like that's when you start to get into that six-figure mark, that's where it really starts to to get tricky, especially with a lot of buyers, and especially where with interest rates as high as they are now, right now. Even Elon said it again himself, you know, a couple of revenue meetings ago about interest rates getting higher. It's really going to affect sales, and they're going to have to adjust for it. So, what do they do? Slap on another 20,000.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah. Yeah. Thanks like, a lot.
Let's go.
Yeah, that's the fix.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Double down.
Jeez. Jeez.
Well, I still kind of maintain my my previous thought about it. Can you hear me?
Yeah. Yep. Go ahead.
Oh, okay. Sorry. Yeah. So I still think that the other shoe is going to fall. I'm still curious when people see whatever the full self-driving price is going to be. You know, once they can order a Cybertruck. And they're like, all right, I waited it out. I didn't put down an extra 20,000. Then they get to January 2025 and suddenly, oh, well, by the way, FSD, the V12 works really, really great. So it's now 20,000 or 15 or something. When I bought my Model X, I literally think I got it like a week or two before these really big price cuts that came in 2019. Because they were running out of the federal tax rebate. So at the end of June, it flipped. And so I was like, okay, sweet. I got the federal tax rebate, but it was back when it wasn't the credit at point of sale or just like straight money. So it was like, it was a part of your taxes. You still had to wait. Literally the Model X price dropped like $15,000. It was like way more than whatever the rebate would have been. So I am accustomed to getting, you know, kicked in the balls by Tesla and sometimes their hasty tendencies and lack of communication. So I'm fully prepared. It's not Schadenfreude. I'm not happy to see it, but I'm definitely going to be that meme where it's like, everybody's like, what? Tesla's just going to keep charging 20,000 for the Cybertruck. Ah! And I'm just going to be like, looking at me like, first time. It's all right. You know?
Exactly. That's well said. But you know what? That's actually very interesting. Once again, speculating. Maybe Tesla is waiting for the full self-driving for it to get all the kinks out, right? On, what is it, version 12, right? And then that way it's kind of like, okay, no more Foundation Series. We know what we have here. Here's the sticker price. And, you know, that's what it is. And maybe that's what they're waiting for.
Elon, I mean, there was a day and a time when Elon was very bullish on the pricing of FSD, and you know, to the point where he said, like, he's like, I don't think it's unreasonable to think, 10 years down the road or something like that, or even 5 years down the road, the software should be worth $25,000, or even, I mean, he was speculating, I think, but I think that he even said up to like $200,000, because when you realize what solving that software problem is, I mean, that is just. I mean, your imagination should go wild. And I think that if it's finally hitting that point where V12 is the trainable, repeatable, like if this is that moment right before the rockets launched, this may be the moment where it's like, you know, a lot of people might wake up and find out their Cybertruck is now $105,000 or something like that to buy it.
Yeah. No, I think that's a very good point, because yeah, once that is polished, that is going to be a game changer. And I think at that point, Elon's going to be able to put pretty much any sticker price on that and go, it's that good.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think it'll be for sale anymore.
From the announcement?
Right. The Cybertruck original delivery was 7,000. And that was 2019. That was the going price for full self-drive in 2019. So it's like, okay, so I mean, even for the next year or two, I mean, the implication was it was going to be 2 years before the trucks came out. So, you know, the full self-driving, if he's setting the bar at 7,000, knowing the price jumps could become, I think that's where everybody's imagination started to run wild on their own with, oh, maybe full self-driving, they'll honor it for the 7,000 that I put down in 2019. I'm like, if you're not getting this truck until 2025, I think you're going to be in for a rude awakening.
Totally. Yeah.
I agree.
I think that the pricing is going to be one of those things that we're going to get to watch in real time And yeah, I'm not entirely sure Tesla knows exactly what's happening right now, and I'm wondering how much of these decisions are them trying to like get some momentum up because they got some financial headwinds coming pretty soon. They already said this year is going to be slow, so I feel like we're all just along for the ride.
Hold that thought.
Yeah. Wait. Okay, we'll wait for him to come back. No, but I think that is a good point because like I said, it's one of those things where it does make a lot of sense if that is their thinking. If their thinking is we don't want to pull the $20,000 Foundation Series price tag upcharge, because then now when someone goes to configure, they're going to expect to see a FSD line item, and we don't know where to price that. Mm-hmm. So let's just kind of delay that as long as we can and just keep that Foundation Series, special edition out there until we can figure all that out. I mean,
yeah. I think that I wasn't as close to Tesla.
We would see it sometime this year get unlocked, but also it would probably be around the same time that we also see like PowerShare getting turned on as well, because that currently is not turned on for anyone who even has it installed. They can't use it yet.
No. Well, let's pivot to that. I know we're waiting for William, but let's pivot to that because I had an interesting conversation with the electrician that's supposed to do my PowerShare install, and I reached out to him this week because he came out. I took delivery on January 23rd, and I believe they came out on February 1st. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I'm well over a month since they've came out and took a look at my home and took pictures and even quoted me. I agreed to the quote. I mean, that was a few days later. So I'm at least a month from when we agreed to terms. And so I called and I'm asking, you know, what's the delay? What's going on? And he goes, we don't have gateways. Tesla is not providing the gateways. They're having some issues and they're not releasing them to the electricians. And so all installations are on hold. He did assure me that I was one of the first in my area. So I'll be one of the, once they get their first batch, I'm going to be one of the first that they come out. But he goes, as of right now, anybody, if I go out and install, even with a gateway, it's not going to work. And what Tesla's trying to avoid is that backlash of people, us doing an install, it not working or not working properly, and that backlash of, you know, the electrician screwed it up or Tesla's screwing something up. And so he goes, they just put everything on hold. They're waiting. Once they get all the kinks worked out, then they're going to ship gateways. We can come out, we can install, and then hopefully at that point everything works fine. So those early people that have had their installations, like you said, it's not working. And it's kind of like, you know, what do you do? You just got to sit there and wait.
There's like no software,
allowed
right?
To take
there's
possession of the hardware either, which so, is odd, but it would make more sense that they're just kind of delaying that.
So I asked him about that. And he said, he goes, I asked him, do you have universal wall connectors? He goes, we have some and I can get them. So that is not the issue. I asked him, I said, so part of this Foundation Series, they tell us that we get universal wall connectors, but they're not giving them to us. You can't just come and give it to me, right? And he goes, no. I go, why is that? He goes, once again, what they don't want is for us to just hand that to people. They then do DIYs or hire the neighbor or an uncle or somebody to come and do the install. And now that's the PowerShare hardware. They want to plug that in and do that bi-directional power, and it doesn't work for whatever reason. And he goes, who's going to get blamed? It's going to be Tesla. It's not going to be the uncle that installed it. It's not going to be the DIY work that they did. It's going to be Tesla. And so he goes, I think right now they're not going to give any hardware to anybody, but I can see once they work out all the kinks, they're going to go ahead and start releasing that to the customers. That's his speculation.
Yeah, that would make more sense. And yeah,
why not just say that?
Yeah, Tesla. We want transparency. Even if it was like, well, I was thinking it would be nice if they would just give the transparency to the owners, the Cybertruck owners that have them in hand. But I know exactly what's going to happen is that as soon as you get an email that's specifically meant for just us, it's going right on the internet. So it's really, they're holding back information because they know that it's their entire market, not just the people who it matters most to.
Yeah, I mean, look at me. I have a private conversation with my electrician, and I'm over here
telling. I'm telling. Do a whole podcast about it.
Yeah, we can deduce as much as we can.
So
I mean, the power, like I said before, in last episode, the power share is kind of the bittersweet moment. Like, I love the idea, but the rollout is kind of messy, a little muddy.
It's Tesla.
So I think one thing I was gonna say was so I actually got an email from them this week. Saying that I got that other email where it's like, okay, you've got all the hardware, you know, all you're missing is a universal wall connector with the PowerShare feature kind of integrated to it. So here's a voucher for like $700. So I was like, okay, I mean, that sounds great. I appreciate that there's some communication because I'm obviously the lowest hanging fruit, being that I already have power walls and an energy gateway and all that kind of stuff. So I appreciated that. But there still is kind of that, all right, I appreciate that you guys are throwing me the voucher, but I'd also just like some information. Like, you know, when's this software patch going to be coming out? Is it going to have, or when will it eventually have, or is it case by case where it'll be able to do, load shedding, where it can just, you know, do the time of use and just back up for whatever, to counter whatever the utility power is. So any communication would be great. I mean, I appreciate the money, but because there's also other gaps in it too, because they say that it says in the PowerShare documentation that the mobile charger that comes with the Cybertruck is supposedly capable of PowerShare. And also and then on the PowerShare website, it also shows that both the old style or the non-universal wall connector and the universal wall connector are both supposed to be supported by it. So I'm like, okay, so the website's giving me a lot of optimism, but there's nothing else to go off of. So I remember that Elon was super unhappy about the idea of vehicle to grid or vehicle to house charging. He just didn't seem to want to even give it the time of day, even though all the competitors are doing it. And the fact is, we're all buying these massive batteries to drive around. I would love to be able to use it for something other than just driving it. It's just, you know, it just makes sense. So I am eager as heck to have PowerShare as a thing. But I'm also kind of curious about what the provisos are going to be. You know, what are going to be the limitations of it that we won't find out about later? And, you know, for the first year or two, it's only home backup, just only home backup. And since I have a power wall, they're going to be like, it'll only work when your power walls die. Like, it has to get that, you know, I'm waiting for those other shoes. So.
Mm. To bring up a good point that actually someone asked today about the mobile connector they ship with the truck is able to then power out. And I think that makes sense because it has the 240 volt outlet plug that you could just plug into the bed and then theoretically just plug into another Tesla. Granted, that's only, I think it's only two Tesla, but then you could use the connector with it. You could charge other cars with it, but I haven't seen that been tested yet.
That's actually, yeah, I haven't even thought of that, to be honest with you. That's something that I should jump on.
Totally.
Because I haven't thought about that.
Find a light.
Can you charge, and maybe someone's already done it and we just haven't seen it, but can you charge a non-Tesla with the outlet and the mobile connector with just an adapter? I wonder.
It probably can, because the mobile connector, from my understanding of the even the wall chargers and the mobile chargers, there isn't a lot of brains inside the box. It's a very rudimentary handshake. How many amps you want? Okay, how many can I handle? Oh, only this much. Okay, here you go. And then it just opens the two legs into the car, and the car does the inverting, all the rest of it. So, I mean, I would think that once once it's coming out of the 240, the 220 outlet, the NEMA 1450 in the bed, then I imagine it's got to be pretty agnostic. It'll just kind of plug into whatever and whatever other adapters you want to go through.
It should, right? It should. Yeah, and I would imagine that it does. So another topic that I wanted to talk to you guys about was something that I came across actually right before, just before we went live and was waiting for you guys. I was just kind of scrolling the internet. Let me show you guys this. So here's a company who is replacing the glass. I believe they're replacing it. They're replacing the glass on the Cybertruck to make it ballistic glass. And I think that's kind of cool. You know, that's super interesting. So you see right here.
Check out that head. Oh my gosh.
What is that front panel with the marble?
Yeah, that was what they originally announced. Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
The stocks?
Yeah, the stocks.
Has, like, a little lever to like adjust the. Oh man.
Yeah, and the middle seat. Look at the middle seat. It could still be a bench.
Uh-huh.
That's a comparison and a half. Just put side by side of what it actually looks like compared to that. Like, that's wild.
Well, show us, William. What you're sitting in.
Well, I mean, yeah. Look at the A pillar and the little cutout there compared to the tiny one that you see over in that corner.
Yeah.
Oh, that's funny. Wild. Yeah. Then we got for visibility, I'm imagining that the one that they actually improved the visibility a lot. Like,
and that's saying something, because I still feel like
about the same shape
in that A pillar. It bugs me a little bit, but I'm starting
look at that thing.
Yeah, same here. A little Instagram handle and a Turo like little QR code in that little window. It's a perfect spot.
And we're kind of going down a different path with this, but I mean, even look at what would be the leg room in the back seat of this.
Yeah, it looks smaller almost.
It looks tiny.
Yeah.
So.
But yeah.
But anyways.
So I guess the price per window.
Yeah.
Interesting. So
per window.
It would be.
$7,600.
Only the side windows, right? There's no way they're going to charge. Well, here's the for a side window, and then the front window's got to be way more expensive. That's a giant piece of glass that would.
Okay, just for kicks and giggles, you guys want to take a stab at how much this? I already know what it is. How much do you think this windshield was going to be?
I mean, at least double. So maybe like $6,000 for the front window.
What do you think, William?
Oh wait, I think we might have lost his connection.
Oh, we lost him again.
Oh yeah. Oh, here he comes. Here he comes.
Close the damn window.
Oh, there we go. Oh, yeah. So
okay, yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, what do you think the price for the front window is going to be? Side windows are all $1,900 a piece for bulletproof glass.
$1,900 a piece for each door.
Yeah.
So what do you think the windshield's going to be, William? We're just doing a little game here.
I'm going to say 10,000.
Wow.
What? Just 1,000 more for it?
What? It doesn't even stop rifle fire. What's the point?
Wait. Can you buy two front windshields and have enough glass to fill the rest of the truck?
Probably. It's so much.
I'll say this: it's like if the windshield gets messed up anytime soon, and Tesla's like, "Yeah, it'll be like, I won't have one for you till next year." I'll be just like, "All right, I'm just gonna go to these guys."
Apparently, yeah,
they've got them in June.
Yeah, yeah, in June.
So bulletproof to what point?
It says right here. Okay, it's a 15 millimeter glass.
Okay,
it'll stop 357 sig. It's a big round.
Yeah,
9 millimeter 357 Magnum. 45 ACP and 40 millimeter full metal jacket.
Interesting. So basically, the same as the doors at that point. It kind of brings it all up to the same level rating.
Mm-hmm.
Which would be good. I mean, I think there is a practical use for this, and like one of my family members is a police officer, and he in his department they just have two Model 3s, or sorry, Model Ys that they have tricked out to being patrol cars. And the biggest reason for that, not just because it's an EV, is because the acceleration and how fast it can go, they're able to catch up to people on the highway like just like that. Like it's game changing as far as like highway patrol goes. But I could imagine this being an interesting thing for, you know, more protection, because it's like there's certain cities that are more dangerous than others. Like having something that could at least stop, you know, pistol calibers could be worthwhile.
Yeah. No, definitely. I think, especially, yeah, for law enforcement, that's, I mean, that's the thing, right? If most times for law enforcement, if they're running into trouble with somebody with a firearm, it's going to be a handgun. I mean, there's not many guys that are pulling out a freaking, you know, 50 cal, you know, that's firing just at police officers. So,
not with any accuracy.
yeah, not at all.
That's interesting. I wonder about the weight and the thickness, because that's going to be the other thing. Because if it was rifle rated, that's it gets inches thick at that point.
Yeah, it would have to be.
That can stop, and that's just like you have to redesign the whole truck to be able to carry that weight. But I'm curious about the weight difference between this class and then the default class, and how that actually affects range and all the other things too.
And I think they don't even need to go that any more than what the doors can do, because if your glass is rated at a higher, it's a stronger material than your doors. It's kind of, what's the point? They just shoot through the door,
right?
So I don't know.
That's a good point. But that brings up a great point too that I saw. That I knew we were talking about at one point. Specifically about the glass, there was another video that I shared with you guys that they went through specifically trying to break the glass to try to figure out at what point did it break. And they think they had the largest, you know, steel ball they could find, and they were able to like finally crack it, you know, throwing it at point blank range. But the best thing about that video wasn't actually them throwing a ball and cracking it. It was at the very end, they actually showed those common window breakers that you get for emergency situations. So usually you keep in the car. They tried it on the outside of the glass, and it didn't do anything. It didn't break the window at all. But I've also heard people talk about that the way that the windows are coated, using it inside of the glass versus outside of the glass can produce different results. So I'm actually really curious, just from a safety perspective, for both, you know, first responders or just people that are, you know, buying these Cybertrucks, it's something to be concerned of. Like, okay, what happens if you run off a bridge and now you're a 7,000-pound paperweight falling into the water? What happens then? You know, you're going to float for a while, but then what?
Yeah. Are you able to get out?
I think that was one of those pieces of trivia I saw in one of the Tesla subs today, because somebody had mentioned the fact that, I guess, I don't even know if it's accurate, but they had said that all Teslas, upon detecting water, like inside basically immersion, that the car knows to lower all the windows.
Oh, that'd be a game changer.
Yeah, and I'm like, oh God, if that's not in there now, it better be in there by the next software update, because that's genius.
That is.
So.
No, that would actually be really, really helpful.
Yeah.
Because otherwise, what do you do? Because you would have to wait for the water to equalize and then use the manual release and get the door open. But already, this is one of the heaviest doors that Tesla makes, so that's a challenge and a half.
Extremely
underwater,
heavy.
In under pressure, holding your breath. Like, that sounds like a nightmare right there.
Yeah.
So, yeah. It's like, if they're using something that rugged, I mean, you know, I sure hope the windows open on their own.
Yeah. But yeah, something to definitely keep an eye out for testing, because I would love to see someone actually test the same thing. Like, okay, can you break the glass from the inside? Now, what do you do? Like, okay, what if first responder shows up? What do they have on their hands to be able to break the glass in the first place? Like, if you're just trapped in it for some reason. But then I think a lot of this is just coming down to a big bet that the Cybertruck itself is safe enough that won't warrant that kind of thing. Like, it's not going to crumple up into a ball like you would have with a really small car on the highway. So that'd be interesting.
Yeah, maybe you'll never really be in that situation. At least they're not. They're hoping that, right?
We're so low. Yeah.
Yeah.
Uncommon.
Well, speaking of glass, why don't we pivot over to our what were they thinking?
That's a good point.
You know, let me.
It's not completely indestructible.
No.
Because we've already seen, so Elon actually did retweet it, but we saw the video from San Francisco where someone tried to, like you're saying, tried to, like, you know, throw ceramic at it to try to bip the glass and was able to crack it, but it wasn't actually able to get into the vehicle, which is kind of nice to see.
Exactly. Let me pull that up real quick. No, it's giving me ads. Okay. Here we go. So here is our winner for what were they thinking?
I'm ready to get this one ready.
Yeah. Mute that.
I'm not sure I can convey how angry I would be if I saw this.
Oh. So this gentleman is, let's kind of let everybody know. So this gentleman, that's not his Cybertruck. It's a friend of his, okay, a buddy of his, and he wants to test how strong the windshield on the Cybertruck is. So he decided, let me jump up there after having a few beers, and I'm assuming he had a few beers. I think it's a safe assumption, but
pretty safe.
And this is what unfolds.
You can see the flex too a little bit.
Oh yeah.
And he goes full Ric Flair.
You're not a bullet. You're a Mexican. You're a Mexican.
Here's
the bullet. All right, come down. No.
Tesla breaks.
Yeah, and then he starts throwing. Yeah, man. Oh my god.
I meant to do this. He fully just skips over remorse and goes straight to see.
Yeah, I'm gonna. I need the rest of the acts of this tragedy because Act One has me hooked. When did the guy come and see it? What happened? I mean, there's got to be more details.
Does he know? There's so many answers.
You know, our podcast is so big at this point. I think we could get him on the show.
We could get.
I could be like, yeah. So I could tell him how angry I'm. Like, wow. Yeah.
Probably.
How did that happen?
Not that many.
You know what? I'm gonna try to track this guy down.
I'm really down. Let's talk to him.
We need the story. We need the story here. I mean, because I wonder, it looks like almost that if the owner was there, he probably would have said something like, hey, come on down. Like, all right, two jumps is enough. Like, at least I would. I would have been like, okay, all right, cool. You stood on it. That's good enough. And then he just belly flopped. I feel like the owner had to have been like, not there for that to happen. But like then
I don't
show up and see that. That's rough.
I cringed when I first saw that. I went, oh my gosh. I mean, the whole every time he jumped, I'm like, oh, what's gonna happen? And then when he was like, all right, I'm like, oh wait, did they get away with this? And then nope. decides to sit on it.
Speaking of crunches, Eric, do you have any news on your Cybertruck?
Okay, so thanks a lot, Chase. well, as you guys know, it's an open investigation case, whatever you want to say. So I don't want to dive too much into the details, but today I did get some information. There's some good information. There's some bad information. So what I will say is I should have resolution very soon, and as soon as I do, I'm going to go ahead and obviously put that on a video. And there's some people that I'm going to be very thankful for and very happy. There's going to be a lot of hugs that I'm going to be giving out in that video because surprisingly, there's been it's been a good thing so far. And then there's a lot of ugly that I've experienced in this. Since last Saturday that I want to share as well, because it's very concerning and disappointing. So without giving out any details, there's some really good positives and then there's some ugly stuff that I've experienced so far. And I think I'm going to be calling out some people that need to be called out. So
nice.
We'll wait on that.
All right, now I'm more interested in that story than the guy jumping on the windshield. You got me hooked. Yeah, I'm in.
Oh, you can talk about the damage a little bit. I know you've shown.
Yes, yes. Yeah, so as far as damage, obviously the rocker panel on the passenger side, up in the front towards the front wheel, it's crushed in. It's just a plastic piece, so that's understandable. The wheel flare is just. It's done. The good part is the camera is actually fine. The resolution on the camera is fine. There's no damage to the camera. There's no cracks. There's nothing wrong with the camera. The camera's fine. It's literally just the plastic housing that's damaged that needs to be replaced. The thing that I'm the most disappointed about all this is my aero caps. Because to me, it was like, these are special limited edition. There's only so many people that have these. And now I have one that's like, another yeah, I know. I've already had a guy message me wanting to buy them off of me. But
wow.
Yeah, he lives in Vegas. He messaged me and he was like, dude, I'll buy them off of you. I asked him how much and I didn't like his offer, so I said no. but you know what's a weird thing? So at Impact, my wheel and my rim, it realigned or got misaligned to where now the aero cap, you know how in the tire there's the little marking where the what would you call it, where it flares out, kind of lines up with the actual tire. It doesn't anymore because the tire and the wheel shifted. So now if I put it in, it's like, oh, so I obviously need to take it to a wheel shop and then just kind of fix that a little bit. But that, I thought that was weird. But yeah, I mean, as far as the door itself, it's not dented. It does look like it got pushed in very, very slightly. The wrap is obviously scratched and needs to be replaced. But, I mean, I'm looking at it. There's no dent. Doesn't look like it didn't. The wrap actually held up really well where it didn't go through the wrap and you don't see the stainless steel. So overall, I have to say the Cybertruck itself held up really, really well. And I was very impressed. If it was any other vehicle, this would have been a way bigger situation as far as damage.
Yeah.
Like if you ran into the Hollywood hotel sign, it would have done more damage.
But talk about stories. I want to know that story.
Yeah. Speaking of beers. Yeah. So I want to know that story too. Yeah, are you going to join the non-aero cap crew here soon with the rest of us?
I think I'm going to have to. You know, I think I sent you guys, I found a guy on Etsy who is 3D printing some caps for that. I'm receiving them tomorrow, as a matter of fact.
Awesome.
So I filmed a tire video almost 2 weeks ago, just showing the wear that the aero caps, you know, the indents that it's doing or it's not doing to my tires. And I filmed all that. And then I came across that guy and I said, okay, well, I could implement that in that video. So I've been waiting to upload that video to YouTube. So I'm excited. Once I receive them tomorrow, I'll probably sometime this weekend add that to the video and then push that out and show everybody kind of what the aero caps have or have not done to my tires. So,
awesome. If you curious to hear what lug nut covers you look and find too, because I think that also sells it. You have to like cover up the lug nuts, and then it's good. It's good to go.
Yeah, it'll look good.
I had our truck cleaned today by like a professional detailer, and he was talking about actually doing a ceramic coat both on the wheels because they're matte black, as well as the you know, plastic around the outside as well, because that ceramic coat could actually keep the plastic nicer for longer. So something I thought was interesting. I didn't consider before, but yeah, I might have to take a look into that and see what we can do.
Well, you got to tell him to hook you up because you have a thriving podcast that he can advertise on.
It's gonna be like NASCAR at the end of this. You know, like have some, like, the first Cybertruck that I saw on Instagram that had, like, started doing raps and like advertisement deals. He's got a few lists now. So he's got a few sponsors. But there's one other thing we were wanting to talk about is the this week we saw officially some pushback from Tesla. Now we're talking about the Cybertruck resales.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which is, it's cool to see, because for the last few weeks now, I forget, what was it? I think it was 2 weeks ago that we saw one of the first ones go up for sale at auction, sold for $244,000 at an auction somewhere in Florida. And that seemed to, like, open Pandora's box of, like, all the resales. So now it's like everyone's trying to get in the game, and we've seen anywhere from, like, you know, 250 to 275, all the way down to, like, I saw 175 and then 195 all over the place. But it seems like someone had posted their story recently of how he put his truck up for sale, intending to sell it, but he also had multiple reservations ready to go as well that he hadn't gone through with. And then Tesla got aware of that and canceled all of his reservations and banned him from buying any more Teslas. And they even went as far as to say that even if he would try to pre-order another Tesla upcoming, they would not refund his pre-order, but automatically cancel it without a refund, which yeah. I think is very interesting to see. And then obviously that sends a message to him, if he does find a buyer, that they're obviously going to come after him. They already know who he is and what they're trying to do. So I thought it was very interesting that we finally got a response after a couple of weeks.
So what about people? So then my question would then be, okay, so what about people who just happen to own the one truck, or, you know, aren't trying to do like a pattern of, you know, flipping, or even if that guy was just planning on just selling the one, because man, people are paying $190,000. Let me try my hand at it. Now he's got all of them canceled. So, I mean, yep. Was this them firing their warning shot? Is this a sign of something else? Or was this a, hey, man, you were like, anybody else looking at the situation is like, man, you sound like you were trying to abuse whatever system they've got going on. So, you know, I can't be too heartbroken that they are on the do not fly list, so to speak.
Exactly. Yeah, we got the forum post up here.
Yep.
Yeah, I think it sets a precedent, but it also shows that, you know, Tesla's still being serious about this. I'm surprised that it came this late, honestly. I thought as soon as we heard the news of the auction, we would get a response from Tesla, or at least a public response. But yeah, it just kind of shows that, yeah, they are taking this seriously. But it's still funny through all the forums that I've been seeing, that people just kind of flippantly just like, yeah, I'll just sell it. I'm like, okay, but how? Like, mm-hmm. You think you're just going to, oh, I'll just sell this one and I'll get another one. Like, you're not going to be able to sell it unless you're selling it back to Tesla, as far as I know.
But I thought that was part of the fact that the first auction, they clarified that they had gotten released from Tesla to be allowed to sell it, because they had notified Tesla of just, hey, we want to sell this. We love the truck. We just want to sell it. And, you know, maybe they did something to it, or did some video testing and did something where Tesla's like, all right, you know what? We're not going to do the cents on the mile, buy it back from you or whatever. They were right. Probably just like, all right, go ahead, give it a try selling it. And then when somebody spends $240,000, they're like, oh, really? Oh, okay.
Well, didn't the rest of the story go that whoever bought it also then re-put it up for sale again? They were trying to flip it even further for like $290 or something.
It was a Porsche dealership, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was a Porsche dealership.
Yeah. Yeah. So they bought it for $245, I want to say.
Mm-hmm.
And they tried to, or they listed it on their dealership website for, I think, $289. So $290.
Yeah.
Which I don't know.
That seems crazy to me. The only justified purchase that makes sense is actually Ford that bought it for $250. Who knows who the buyer was, or who the seller was, but still, that seems like a legitimate sale that Tesla would be like, okay, yeah, you can do that, because Ford's obviously going to tear it apart and
mm-hmm.
do their whole thing.
Yeah.
Well, I think that was the initial speculation of Porsche buying it, right? That I think they first said Porsche, but it was just a dealership. And so I think the speculation was, hey, is Porsche buying it to tear it apart? And then 2 days later, it's up on a dealership in Florida's website. So
yeah, Speaking of tearing apart Cybertrucks, I'll just tease at something that I might have some more news the next podcast. So,
okay. Stay tuned for that. Oh, nice.
Yeah.
I think I know what it is.
See, William knows. I'm out of the loop.
No, he said. No, he said it in the chat room. He said it in the Discord.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, it's about a certain individual.
Yeah.
Particular individual.
Hence why we're cleaning the truck today.
And oh, is it also tomorrow?
Indeed.
Mm-hmm.
You gotta come back, yep. Viewers. Lastly, before we wrap this up, I want to do our wrap of the week. Let me get rid of some of these people right here, and then.
Judging by the Reddit response to Chase's truck, it's not Chase's truck.
Not this week.
All the Redditors are so grumpy.
Yeah.
Oh, that's awesome.
That's awesome.
Isn't that cool?
Oh, that's so cool.
Oh, that's awesome.
And they got the license plate. That's
and
even
they
better.
Have the license plate. 100%.
That was planned for sure.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Awesome.
Oh man, and they must have vinyl wrapped each individual strip of the tonneau.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that had to be some work. There's Doc Brown himself. Look at him; he's going crazy.
Yeah, great Scott. Goddamn. So,
this actually reminds me. I saw this week too that it's completely ironic, but someone had talked about an Easter egg or a potential Easter egg that they found where they activated the voice and. William, you can try this later since you're in the truck. But they activated the voice and they said, okay, make me a Ferrari. And then it said, nothing, we don't recognize that. And it said, like, okay, make me a Bugatti. And then they were like, they don't recognize that. And it was like, okay, make me a DeLorean. And they're like, that feature's not active yet. Which is very interesting because it's not any of the other ones. So, like, I'm wondering if, you know,
right,
they have
plans.
Let
me try and do it right now.
DeLorean.
Here we go. Ready?
All right.
Make me into a DeLorean. It says command not understood. What was the way they said it?
Turn me into a DeLorean, I believe it was.
Turn me into a DeLorean. This command is not available yet. The other ones are the command was not recognized. This one said command not available yet. Okay.
Oh yeah.
Okay, turn me into a DeLorean. That's the proper phrase. Yeah.
And it's not a wrap. That's
yeah, that's
I'm
just
sure
a car.
Something else. I'm sure it's got to be.
Interesting.
Turn me into a DeLorean.
William's going to have too much fun. He's going to be doing this all night. He's
yeah,
going to be
I
waiting.
I got your screenshot so we can edit
awesome.
It in if you want so people can
oh,
see
yeah.
it.
Oh, yeah.
Perfect. Perfect.
I wonder if it's going to be like. There's so many things they could do, obviously, but I wonder if it's going to be like a custom light show or it could be like a. Kind of like the Santa Claus and the Mars mode. It could like, change
thinking.
The UI to be like the Tesseract or whatever it is. So
I'm kind of hoping that they go like the Rainbow Road route from original autopilot activation.
Oh,
and then
yeah.
you like, if you're driving along, like make me into DeLorean and it'll go like roads where we're going. We don't need roads. The visualization turns into it flying. And then if it just started playing that, yeah, just going into the theme.
Yeah.
See?
That would actually be pretty cool.
This is the fun part about owning a Tesla, you know.
It really is.
I'm surprised people caught on the tapping so quickly. Like if you double tap on the glass,
yeah, that was
you
quick.
See that one ring.
That was really quick.
It breaks.
Yeah.
So triple tap on the glass of the side of the.
Oh
the
yeah, the windows. Yeah, you
yeah.
can.
Oh my god.
Oh, and it plays the audio.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh my gosh, that's
glass.
Hilarious.
Tap on the back one now.
Oh man, it didn't go through. And you can't do it to the other windows.
No, it's just
it's only the ones that were broken.
Yes,
exactly.
Yeah. In the show, that's hilarious.
Yeah,
they're having fun with it.
You have to, right?
Oh,
I mean, they're
yeah, they're not talking to us. They might as well be doing something.
I was looking to say something, and you did it perfectly.
Yeah.
So. All right, guys. Well, I think this was another successful episode 2. Some good topics and excited for episode 3 because Chase is going to unveil his big secret. So,
mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
So, all right, gentlemen. I appreciate it. And to the next week's episode 3.
All right. I'll see you then.
Yep.
See you then.
Later, guys.
Thanks.